I tell you, we have some wonderful testimonies this morning of God's blessing. And we're always glad to come back and thank the Lord for what he's done for us. It's a wonderful day. Well, I tell you, this just encourages us to believe him for many, many more wonderful things. This is actually true. And we're studying in the book of Ephesians. So if you have your Bible, we're going to the 4th and 5th chapters this morning. This is a wonderful portion of God's Word, chapters 4 and 5 of Ephesians, and they deal with our testimony before the world, our walk with the Lord. Remember, yesterday morning we dealt with the position we have in Christ. Chapters 1, 2, and 3 deal with what God gives us in Christ. Just gives it to us. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. The moment you get saved, you're no longer an outcast, but you're a member of the royal household of heaven. You're a fellow citizen of the saints. Praise God. And that's why we have such a wonderful feeling in our heart, because our spirit knows that, but our head hasn't caught up to it all yet. We have to learn it from the Word. You see, the Bible is to get our thinking straightened out. When we open our hearts, the Holy Spirit, he comes in our hearts, and he lets us know that everything's all right. Everything is packed up between you and God. Everything's fixed up. And as long as you walk in that love he puts in your heart, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, you keep that love in your heart. And since you breathe that love of God in your heart, he asks that you forgive you. And he will. And stay in his love. Why, you'll keep that sweet relationship. But then go to the Word, and the Word helps our mind to understand these things. And you know the thing that thrills me, many times we enjoy for months or even years, we enjoy with the Lord and through the Holy Spirit things that we don't fully understand with our minds. But it's just because we humbled our hearts and opened our hearts, he gives us. He's more willing to give than we are to receive. Isn't that amazing? He is. God is a good giver. And if he's such a good giver, well, we ought to be good receivers.
Amen.
Our receiving pleases the Lord. Because he's always giving and giving and giving and giving. Now, just in the natural, he sends his rain on the just and the unjust, the Bible tells us. You look at the beautiful sunshine. The Lord just bathes this old world with sunshine. Everyone can enjoy it, whether they thank the Lord for it or not. He gives it. He said he just gives abundantly, doesn't he? Gives the fresh air we breathe and all these things. You see, he's a good giver. Now, if he does that in the natural, for the natural man, which is temporal, I want you to know that he's also doing that and more for the spiritual man that's eternal. He's sending the rain of his righteousness down upon our hungry hearts. He sends the sunshine of his love into our spirit. I love that scripture in Malachi. He said that the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. The S-O-N, you see. Jesus is God's Son to shine in our hearts. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. The light that lightens every man that comes into the world. Jesus shines into our hearts. Just like that sunshine out there is in the world, we've got sunshine in our hearts. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And that's wonderful, because, you see, sometimes the clouds may roll in and all that, but we know the sun is still shining out there. And in our hearts, there may be a test or two, but he's still there. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Praise his name. And he wants us to count on his presence with our faith.
Praise
knowing him. He's there, we're going to go right on loving him, serving him. And then, of course, his presence will be real in our hearts. But this book of Ephesians deals with what we have in Christ. And remember, just for the moment of review, I told you that the scriptures point out that it's ours. These things are ours, already given to us. Quickly, notice chapter 1, verse 3, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. He's done it. In Christ, you're blessed. You're a blessed individual in Jesus. You stay in Christ and you're going to have all the blessings you can take care of. Just keep in Jesus. Keep in his love. Hallelujah. And then he tells us in the 6th verse, wherein he has made us accepted in the Beloved. He has done it. Jesus died so you and I could be accepted of God.
Praise
he doesn't Lord. Have to do something to make you accepted. The moment you accept Jesus, God accepts you. Amen?
Amen.
The moment you accept Jesus, God accepts you, because he does it for Jesus' sake. Isn't that wonderful? That's why he can just put his big old arms around us and hug us, so to speak, and bless us Because we're in Christ. And you know the Father loves his only Son. Jesus is the only begotten of the Father. And so the moment you accept Jesus, why, you see, God accepts you in Jesus. Hallelujah. And you're included in the great, wonderful love of God. Praise his wonderful name. He has made us accepted in the Beloved. And verse 11 says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Now, beloved, if that isn't enough to shout about.
Oh, glory.
Hallelujah. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. He has made us accepted in the Beloved. And we have obtained an inheritance. Now, what we're doing when we read the Bible, we're reading what our inheritance is all about. We're reading the will. Hallelujah. It's just kind of like over in Russia. I heard of a girl that was going to a secret meeting. You know, they had to meet secretly. And she met one of the guards. And, of course, if they find out where these Christians meet, they put them in prison many times. And so this guard asked her where she was going. And she said, well, she said, my elder brother died, and I'm going to hear the will read. Did you get it? And the guard said, oh, you may pass. Hallelujah. So she said, well, I don't do the prayer meeting to hear the will read. Hallelujah. And though that kind of excites anyone to think that someone has an inheritance, you know, you get excited for someone else. If someone left them something and they're an heir, they received something just that someone else worked for and earned, but they bequeathed it. They left it to them. Hallelujah. Well, I want you to know that Jesus left us a lot. Glory, glory, glory. Not just heaven by and by, but down in this world, he left us his promises.
Amen.
So we can have victory now, so we can overcome the old tempter now. He left us his wonderful word. Praise the Lord. He says we have obtained an inheritance. And then, of course, I told you that that's what Paul is doing in these first two chapters. He's praying that these Ephesians might know what they have. Since he heard they're saved, he tells us down there in the 18th verse, he said, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is this hope of his calling. He said, I know you're saved now, and I've heard of your love to the saints. And that's a proof of your salvation. You love people now. Isn't it better to love than hate anyhow?
Yeah.
Isn't it better to let love out of our hearts and let the old devil fill us with hate and envy and strife and all the bad things? Isn't it just good to know that you do love God, you love everybody? Isn't that wonderful? Praise his name. And he says, I've heard that you love everybody. So he said, I know you're saved. Now he said, I'm praying that you'll not only love everybody, but you'll also know what's yours in Christ. Now that's what we said in the Bible. So our head will catch up with our heart. Our hearts really gotten into this now. The Lord filled our hearts. But now we want our poor old head to get straightened out. We don't want our thinking to go wrong. Therefore, all the static comes from on our spiritual radios is from this head of ours. Sometimes it gets grounded. And it picks up too much static from the stations of this old world. But the Word of God always tunes us right into the glory world, always tunes us in to our spiritual headquarters. The Word of God always agrees with the Spirit of God, always. So the Spirit you have in your heart, as you let the Word get in your head, there will be an agreement. You see, sometimes there comes a conflict in the Christian because the old enemy is trying to get doubts in his mind that makes his heart feel bad down here. He loves Jesus, but here's what is coming into his mind now. Well, you just go to God's good word and you get that thinking straightened out. For anything that comes to our mind as Christians that's not like the word, we reject it. No, no, no. I'm going to believe God's word no matter how reasonable it sounds. The old devil, he can make things sound awful reasonable.
Amen.
You know, he's like a crooked lawyer. He can almost make black look white and white look black. But I want to tell you, I've got a lawyer that's going to beat him in every case.
Jesus
is our lawyer now. Amen. And we just turn our case over to Jesus and say, I don't understand, but Lord, I love you, and I'm thanking you. You plead my case, and he'll plead it right there in heaven. And not only that, but he'll let you go to his word so you'll have something for you to stand with. Now, we get this, of course, from our position in Christ. And then we go to the chapter 4, and this begins to deal with our walk in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Our spiritual walk, you see. For we're not only saved in our hearts, but it's going to affect how we walk, isn't it? It's going to affect how we talk. It's going to affect our attitude. Praise the Lord. And so here in Ephesians 4, it begins with the very word we're using. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk, how? Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. Then he tells them how to do it. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. He said it's going to be a humble walk. One thing that's always going to characterize a Christian is that he'll have a teachable spirit. You know, before we come to the Lord, while the old devil tries to make us think that we know enough, we don't need other people's advice. You know, all of us are a little like that. But when we get saved, the Holy Spirit gives us a desire to learn about Jesus. We want to learn more about Jesus. And so we get a teachable spirit. It's a humble spirit. Now, the wonderful thing of it is, in the spiritual realm, when you humble yourself, then the Lord lifts you up.
Praise the Lord.
See, the world lifts themselves up, and God has to put them down. You know, men get proud and boastful. Watch out. Pretty soon, boom, down they go. Because pride goes before what? A fall. A Holy Spirit goes before destruction. But you see, when you humble yourself, then the Lord will lift you up. Now, it helps us to realize it isn't wrong to be lifted up if the Lord does it. He doesn't want us to lift ourselves up. He wants us to humble ourselves so he can lift us up. Hallelujah. I think this scripture back in Isaiah is such a beautiful scripture. Keep your finger there now in Ephesians, because we're coming right back to chapter 4. But over in Isaiah, in the 57th chapter, I believe it is. Yes. And the 15th verse, listen to this scripture. Isaiah saw this truth back there in the Old Testament. God saw this humble walk. And here's what he said about it. Isaiah 57, verse 15. For thus says the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place. With whom? Who does he dwell with? Listen to it now. With him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite one. God says, I'm high and I'm holy. I dwell in this high and holy place. But he says, those that will humble themselves will walk with me in this high and holy place. He said, I dwell with them that's of a humble spirit. Now, can't you see why the old devil tried to keep us from humbling ourselves so long? The old devil tried to keep us proud and boastful and vain and thinking, leading to our own smartness. But the moment that we humble our hearts before God, then God lifts us up to a true elevation of his love, you see. God says, I dwell in this high and holy place, the God that made heavens and earth. But he said, when men humble themselves, I lift them right up there to walk with me. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord. So now that's what Ephesians, going back to Ephesians, that's what he's saying. I beseech you that you walk worthy of this vocation. You're saved now. You've been delivered from the vanity of the world, the pride of man. You see, now walk worthy. The spiritual walk for the Christian comes from the sense that he has this new life within him. He's no longer going to walk to please his natural mind, but to please the Lord who's in his heart now. Now, how are we going to do that? Well, we're going to do it by learning to walk according to his word, you see.
Amen.
And that's what the next thought brings us, down in the 17th verse. I'm just giving you the key scriptures. It'll help you understand the book. Look at the 17th verse of chapter 4. You find it? This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. Now, how do they walk? In the vanity of their mind. You see, pride blinds people from seeing things like we should see them. The vanity of their mind. And he said, that's how the others walk, is in the vanity of their mind. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. You see, it's spiritual ignorance. Because of the blindness of their heart. They may have a head that's been taught and educated, but beloved, some of the most blind people in the world are people that are the smartest.
Amen.
They've educated their mind, they've trained their mind, and there's nothing wrong with that, but they've neglected their heart. They're trying to understand all of this, but just their mind. And they left God out. They said, oh, I'll get this, I'll understand it. I'm going to understand all of what this life is all about. But they're ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth.
Amen.
Going around in a circle, never finding what they're looking for, always searching, searching, searching. And thank God, here comes those that humble themselves before the Lord. That maybe many of us haven't had the opportunity of a lot of education, but we can humble our hearts and get understanding in our hearts. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And we begin to walk then, and not in the vanity of the mind, but in the understanding of the heart. You see, this is why the Bible says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the heart, not with the head. When we open our hearts, God reveals himself to us. And the door of the heart swings on the hinges of humility.
We humble our hearts.
I need you, Lord. I need your help. I need your mercy. I have failed. I have missed it. And when we humble our hearts, the door swings open, and who's standing there? Why, Jesus is right there.
Glory.
And he comes right in. He's there knocking all the time, so we would let him in, wasn't he? Hallelujah. So, you see, this is a beautiful picture that we shouldn't walk in the vanity of our mind and in pride, even after we're saved. Now, come on, even after we're saved, the old devil sometimes will try to boost us up in pride, you know, in one form or another. Pride can take a lot of forms. He'll try to make us think maybe that, oh, you know, that we're better than others. No, no, beloved. The ground is all level at the foot of the cross. You see, we all come to Jesus the same way. There's no big guys and little Jews. He loved us all and died for us all. Isn't that wonderful? And so never let ourselves be lifted up in pride. Don't walk in the vanity of our mind, but keep a humble attitude. Keep a teachable spirit. But then, when the Lord lifts you up, don't have a false humility that will not accept his blessing. You see, when he begins to lift you up, he's planned to do that. And when you humble yourself, you see, I'm saying this for a purpose. Sometimes the old enemy, when a person has humbled themselves, then he tries to make them think that they mustn't accept anything that would be of good for them, you know, that would do them good because they're supposed to keep humble. I know I got into that and I was sincere. And of course, you're sincere when you do wrong as a Christian. I was sincere. But I thought, well, since I was humble, I wasn't even supposed to shine my shoes. That would be pride to shine my shoes. Now, I know you're going to laugh at me, but I was a teenager. I didn't have much understanding. So, I look back now. I don't know how my wife ever did marry me. I really don't. But she told me, she said, of course, the Lord put it in her heart. It's a matter of the heart, not the head. Her head would have told to leave that fellow alone. He doesn't need shiny shoes. He doesn't need pressed trousers, you know. And in the wintertime, I wore an old green scarf I tied around my ears. Believe it or not, I look like Grandmother Hubbard. I'm telling you. But she said, well, she, in her heart, she said, when I get him, I'm going to really work on him. And she's been working on me ever since. Amen. And believe it or not, she has helped a lot. Now, you may not think so, but she ought to see me before she got me. I mean, you know, there's been a big change. Praise the Lord. But how'd we get into that? I had a false humility. Now, I was sincere, really. I was. Here, the Lord had saved me. Now, I knew before I was saved, see, well, I wanted to be the, you know, like any young person, I wanted to be the one that looked the sharpest and acted the smartest. And, you know, you turn out to be a smart aleck, you know. But anyhow, that's how you're in the natural. You want to be the life of the party. So when I got saved, well, of course, why, that all went out the window of my heart. And really, I didn't want the party of the world any longer. But then I took this wrong attitude that since all of that went out, well, I was just kind of supposed to look bad and dull, you know, and dreary. But I'm glad that one day the Lord began to let me realize that he wanted the inside to be brightened up with his presence, and he wanted me to take care of the outside, not to show off the natural man, but to make myself presentable so that I could represent the King of Kings. Hallelujah. You see what I'm getting at. There is a false humility, but there is a true humility, a humility that has, I think, more than any other characteristic, a teachable spirit. We're willing to learn about the things of God. We're glad for our pastor to come and instruct us and help us. I believe a real Christian will always be marked by a teachable spirit.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So I think that's what he's getting here when he says, don't walk in the vanity of the mind. And it's proven, of course, down in the 20th verse of this same chapter. He says, but ye have not so learned Christ. Hallelujah. He said, you've learned differently now. You've learned Christ. Now, how do we learn Christ? We receive Christ in our heart by faith. But how do we learn Christ? Learning has to do with the mind, doesn't it? I'll tell you what it's doing with here. We learn Christ by learning his word. You could even put word there in place of Christ. It would be the same. You have not so learned the word. You see, you read the Bible, you're learning now, you're teaching your mind about this Jesus you have in your heart. You follow? When you receive Jesus, you receive a perfect Savior in your heart. He's there. Oh, he's there. He's brought peace. He's brought joy. He's brought a fullness of joy. But now you've got to teach your mind about this Jesus you have in your heart. And you're going to do it by studying his word, for he reveals himself to us through his word. There's a beautiful scripture that will help us understand this.
It's found in Proverbs, the third chapter. Proverbs, the third chapter, and I believe it's the fourth and fifth verses. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Listen to these beautiful words. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Now that's our salvation, with our heart. See, there it is again. Believing in the heart. And lean not to thine own understanding. Now that's the mind, the head. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Isn't that beautiful? See, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. This would be a good scripture for everyone to memorize. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. That doesn't mean you do away with your understanding. You just don't lean on it. If your understanding contradicts, the word of God contradicts his peace in your heart, then you don't let your understanding deceive you. You say, no, sir, I'm believing God's word no matter what my mind is trying to tell me. If it's different from the word, I'm going to take the word. Now, do you follow what I'm getting at? Mm-hmm. Don't lean to your understanding. Lean to the Lord. Trust him with all your heart. Lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Acknowledge his word. Acknowledge his word. Amen. For sometimes things will come to your mind that seem so reasonable. Or you might be in a grocery store. Now, this seems so small, but it can happen. It can happen to a Christian. And the devil said, now, look, no one's looking. You can take that and put it in your purse. No one will know anything about it. And it seems so reasonable that after all, that grocery store won't miss one of those things. Now, I'm talking about something so small, but listen, Christians can be tempted to steal. Christians can be tempted to lie. No testimony, please. Christians can be tempted to cheat. Amen? And the devil makes it look so reasonable. But then the word of God comes to us and says, let him that stole steal no more. So when I look here, God told me that he saved me. I don't have to steal now. I don't have to take away from others what is theirs and isn't mine. I can trust God now, and the things I don't have, the things I need. He told me if I seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he'll add these things to me. I won't have to steal them.
Amen.
Now, that's bringing it down so simple, but I'm using that just for an illustration. It could be on any other line just as well, couldn't it, folks? Sometimes the devil will tempt us to talk about people. And after all, we know they made a horrible mistake. And it's our obligation to tell everyone how they missed it. But the moment you start doing it, you'll feel bad down in your heart. Amen? Now, we can do it. See, we can choose. After we're saved, you see, we can still do wrong if we choose to do so, just like we did before we were saved. But we have something now we didn't have before we were saved. We can now choose to do right. And before we were saved, we couldn't. We didn't have the power to do it. Do you follow? We're free now to make our own choice. The Lord has set us free. Hallelujah. We're not bound to do wrong now. You follow? We're saved now, and we'll weigh these things up, and we must choose now the Lord's way because we're saved, and we love the Lord. We want to do his will, you see. So when we see thoughts come to us, well, look what so-and-so did. Now, you just ought to get back at him, you know. They gave you a piece of their mind. You better give them a piece of yours. Now, I tell you, folks, you're going to need those pieces. Don't give that mind away. You need it. Amen? But you know, I'm just talking now. Listen, I'll tell you. This salvation of ours is practical. That's what this is dealing with. These two chapters, 4 and 5, are dealing with the practical side of our salvation. God has brought us up in heavenly places. He's lifted us up with Jesus at his own right hand. He's given us spiritual blessings that this old world can't know a thing about. Brother, you'll never get what you got here last night down the 5 and 10 cent store or any place else. You couldn't buy it in any place in this world. If you had all the money in the world, you couldn't buy it. But you got it with the Lord. Hallelujah.
Praise
Sister, you got forgiveness last night that can't be bought with money, but Jesus gave it to you. Praise the Lord. See, wonderful things he just gives us. And this is great. But now these two chapters deal with our walk before the world. It's practical. What God gives us is going to help us get along with each other. It's going to help us treat each other right. And we'll make mistakes, but the moment we do, we'll feel bad about it, and that's how we learn to discern between good and evil. by having our senses exercised. Hebrews tells us we have our the maturity belongs to those who are of full age, who have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. That's in the fifth chapter of Hebrews, I think. For you that are copying down such scriptures, I better find what I'm saying so that you know that I'm getting it out of the Bible. It's in Hebrews 5, verse 14. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, who are mature. Even those who have, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, before we were saved, we couldn't make that discernment. But after we're saved, you have light in your heart. The Holy Spirit is in your heart. You have the light from His Word. And so, by reason of use, you will make mistakes. Now, come on, don't be a quitter just because you make a mistake. You know, after all, in the natural, when we learned to walk, we didn't start walking all at once. Of course, we don't remember this, but you parents know how your children learn, and we learn the same way. You didn't just jump up out of that crib and start running all over the house. You learned to walk. Amen? And it was wonderful when we learned to walk. But we had to learn. We took some bumps. Amen? We even made some mistakes. In fact, you know, really, you take a little baby, he doesn't even know what his feet are for at first. In fact, he doesn't even know he has feet. He's alive, he's got life, but he didn't know he's got feet and hands. He's just lying there cooing and playing, having the biggest time. And he thinks that's all the world is for, just to drink milk and have a big time. I mean, that's all he knows right then, but he's got life. I said, he's alive. He's a baby, but he's alive. Now, when we were first saved, the Bible says we're babes in Christ. But one day that little fellow's lying there in the crib, you know, and all of a sudden he looks down and he sees something wiggling around. And he grabs it, and it's his foot. He didn't even know he had a foot. And you know what he does with that foot? First time he grabs it, he stuck it in his mouth. Well, that's not the thing to do with the foot. But that's all he's ever known, is put nipples in his mouth. So he grabs his foot in, and he puts that toe right in his mouth. Now, come on. You've seen him do it. Well, are you going to criticize that baby because he stuck his toe in his mouth? You're going to go down to the store and get a great big book, you know, and come back and say, now listen, baby, listen to what this book says. You're not to put your foot in your mouth. You wouldn't help that baby one bit. No, just let him keep feeding him. He'll find out that foot's for more than a foot in his mouth after a while. Amen. One day he'll find out that he's... So these hands he's got, he really didn't know what those hands. He probably did the same thing with his hands the first time he saw him. He put his thumb in his mouth, didn't he? But he's learning. He's learning. He doesn't know yet what those hands are for. When we get saved, we get filled with the Holy Spirit. Why, praise God, the Lord lets us enjoy these things because we have to learn by use, see? But pretty soon we begin to realize why that baby does that those hands, he can pull himself up. He grabs the whole edge of that crib, and one day he pulls himself right up. And oh, you're so thrilled, aren't you? Now you have a big time. Oh, look, the baby's pulled himself up. And you take him out of the crib, you put him down on the floor, and he still hasn't learned all about those legs yet. Instead of trying to walk, he starts crawling around all over the floor. But you don't criticize him. You know he's got to crawl before he walks. And you're just waiting for the day when he pulls himself up to a table or something, and there he is. Oh, good, he's standing. Look, our baby's standing. Or is he standing up all by himself? And everyone's thrilled about it. Taking him a few months to learn to do that. And then one day he turns loose and he takes some steps. Those feet that all he did was put in his mouth at first, laying walk on the mat. He's learned by reason of use, hasn't he? Now the Bible says in the spiritual realm, our Heavenly Father, I believe He delights over us. He rejoices that we rejoice in His love. We delight ourselves in the Lord. And the Holy Spirit helps us do that, doesn't He? Delight thyself in the Lord, the Bible says. And He shall give thee the desires of what? Thine heart. Hallelujah. Down in your heart when you're saved, God puts good desires, doesn't He? Oh, He puts desires to do right and to you know, be what God wants you to be. It's all in your heart. But you're going to have some static from up here, this head of ours, that to be taught by the Word. But you keep those right desires. Keep delighting yourself in the Lord. And He's going to teach you. You may have a few bumps. You may do things wrong at first. But go right on. Amen. Go right on. Testify. Every time you testify, you'll learn more about how to express what's in your heart. not only here at church, but to other people. It may be a little hard at first because we haven't been doing that, but you begin to share what God's done for you. And every time you do it, you're learning, aren't we? We're learning. And it isn't long until these blessings that are wonderful, but we begin to let these blessings be a power in our lives to help other people. Isn't that true?
Praise
the Lord.
Praise God.
That's what he's dealing with here in these two chapters, 4 and 5, is our walk. He says, we're learning how to walk, not after the vanity of our mind, but we're learning to walk in Christ, in the Word. And then he goes on, but we don't have time to get into all this. Let me just read some of it for you. Oh, let's see. Well, it deals with what I mentioned a while ago. Look, going right on from the 25th verse. Listen to it. Well, verse 24. And that you put on the new man, which is after God created in righteousness and true holiness. You see, you have a new man in your heart. Now learn to put him on. In other words, act out what's in your heart, righteousness and holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. Now, lying belongs to the old man, the old life. So we put that away. That's an act of the will, that I'm not going to have to lie anymore. Now, can Christians tell a lie? Is it possible for a Christian to lie? Why, yes, the Christian can tell a lie. But he's going to feel bad about it. He's going to know he's done wrong. And the Bible says, well, you don't have to lie anymore. Speak truth with your neighbor. You know it's a lot better to tell the truth. You know, when you tell the truth, you don't have to remember what you said. You tell a lie, you better remember it, because you got to stick to that lie. And as a rule, you'll end up telling a bunch of others to cover up that one. Say amen. No testimonies, please. I'm just teaching this morning. Isn't that right? But when we speak truth, praise the Lord, we don't have to remember because we're telling the truth now. Someone comes tomorrow and say, well, what about this? Well, it's just the same as we told them yesterday. Still the same way. Because truth doesn't change. Isn't that better? How many think that's better?
Amen.
I believe it's better. Just speak, put away lying, tell the truth with your neighbor. Then verse 26, be ye angry, sin, and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. If you do get angry, why, he says, get it settled up. Get it out of your heart. Don't go on yielding to that anger, but yield to the love of God in your heart. And love will cancel anger. It'll negate anger, you see. So that's what it means there. And verse 27, neither give place to the devil. Now, there's some stronger translations that I'm giving. I'm giving the easy one there. One fellow says, that should be a question mark. Be ye angry and sin not? Because, let's face it, the wrath of man doesn't work the righteousness of God. But if we do get angry, the Bible does say, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Get it fixed up. You get angry, you need to say something wrong. And as a rule, when we get angry, we'll say something we shouldn't say. And the thing to do, I got angry. Look what I said. Look, I really hurt my little wife. Here, she's washed my clothes all these years and ironed them. And here I got mad at her, and I really just put her in her place. But you know, when I did, I really put myself in a bad place. Honey, I'm sorry. And you know, we found out that if we do make a mistake like that, the one that asks forgiveness first gets the biggest blessing. Hallelujah. Amen. And it's just better to keep things packed up as we go along. Isn't that right? Don't let things mount up and accumulate. Amen. You know, it's awful when you let the washing go for a whole month. I mean, everything's dirty then. It's better just keep things washed up as we go along. Amen. And when it comes to spiritually, the Lord says, just do it every day. He says, don't go to bed with something wrong in your heart. Amen. The Lord might come during the night. You want everything fixed up. When you go to bed, you want to be able to pillow your head on the promises of God. You know, you've done everything you know to do to get things straightened up. If you made a mistake, you can say, I'm sorry. Amen. I tell you, we're always going to be able to say that as Christians. There's going to be a time when we're going to say, I'm sorry. I wasn't right. Forgive me. Amen. And he tells us what to do. Now go on. Verse 28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing that is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Out of your mouth. Well, one morning we'll spend a whole lesson on talking right. He says, let no corrupt, that means filthy communication. God says it's filthy when we say bad words. I mean, this isn't just curse words. This is when we talk about someone. This is when we criticize. This is when we have aught in our heart against one another. It's bad, you see. It says, but Yet your word be used to edify each other, that he may minister grace unto the hearers. Verse 30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. He said, don't grieve that Spirit in your heart. You see, in your heart now, this Holy Spirit becomes a monitor. The peace of God is in your heart. You have peace in your heart. Now, when you say something wrong, it'll disturb the peace in your heart. It really will. It'll disturb that. Then you'll know something is wrong. The old devil set one up on you. Came up on your blind side. You say, oh, Lord, what's wrong? You open your heart, and pretty soon you'll see what's wrong. You look at the thing the wrong way. You misjudge someone, or whatever it was. You follow? And you say, Lord, I'm sorry. And you'll get that peace restored as you get it fixed up. The peace of God will return to your heart. Now, it's wonderful to have a monitor like that. Amen. It's God's goodness. We will feel bad. You can thank the Lord when you do feel bad as a Christian over something. Before we were saved, we wouldn't have felt bad about it. See, before we loved Jesus, we said, boy, I sure got them told. They'll never try to step on my toes again. I told them where I stood. But after you get saved, say, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Oh, well, I feel bad about that. Thank God you do. That shows you're a new creature. Hallelujah. That shows your heart's rejecting what your head tried to get away with. Listen, you keep your heart right and keeping the word, and a good heart will get your head straightened out. And I tell you, it's the only way it works, because the head will never straighten out the heart with natural learning. It won't work that way. That's how the old devil deceived us before we got saved. We leaned all up here, and he deceived us. He pulled the wool over our eyes, as we say. But when you get your heart right with God, and you keep your heart right with God, keep humble, why, you're going to know when you do wrong, and it'll bring you through the word, and God will help you. He'll somehow, through your pastor, through a teacher, through the word, he'll get to you what was wrong about that. Isn't it good to do that? And the Holy Spirit, he'll guide us. The Bible says all through, well, I've got to be wrong. Time's getting away from it. But listen, it says, grieve not this Holy Spirit that you have in your heart, for he's sealing you till the day of redemption. In other words, you keep God's love in your heart, and you're sealed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You're going to be saved, and God's going to keep you. Just as sure as you keep the Holy Spirit in your heart and keep him there but not grieving him away, he'll keep you. You see. In other words, this is real eternal security. You keep yourself in the love of God, and it'll keep you forever and ever. Isn't that wonderful? But our part is to keep ourselves there. Now, then let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away. Put it away. Put it away. Because these are the things that grieve the Holy Spirit. And now he tells us what to do. He says, verse 32, be ye kind one to another. Don't we need a lot of kindness? Doesn't it help us for someone to be kind to you and me? Don't you appreciate it? I do. And we can be kind one to another. Tender-hearted, forgiving one another, and look at this, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Now this is the law of the New Testament, which is really a higher law than the Old Testament. See, the Old Testament said, love your neighbor as yourself. But Jesus said, love your neighbor like God has loved you. That's a greater love, isn't it? How did God love us? Why, he loved us when we didn't deserve it. He loved us in spite of all our mistakes and failures. He loved us and forgave us just because we came to him and accepted Jesus. He loved us. Well, he loved us before we even loved him. For the Bible says here in his love, not that we first loved God, but he first loved us and gave himself for us. Now he tells us, he says, I want you to love others like I've loved you. Isn't that wonderful? Now only Christians can do this. Did you know that? For really, this kind of love includes forgiveness. It's forgiving those that wrong us, forgiving those that misunderstand us. But you can do it because you consider in your heart, well, God's forgiven me of more than them. And really, folks, let's face it, no one can ever wrong us as much as we wronged him. Because he's God, we're just human beings. And yet he freely forgave us. If he's forgiven us so much, can't we forgive each other the little trivial things of time when he's forgiven us things that account for eternity? He says, forgive others just like God's forgiven you. Love others like God loved you. Now then, one more scripture, chapter 5, dealing with love now. It tells us there, be ye followers of God as dear children and walk in love. Walk in this love. Now, he put it in your heart, but he wants us to walk in that love. And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Jesus' life was like a fragrance in this old troubled world. He went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. It was just like the aroma of a garden of roses. Jesus went about among troubled people and brought peace to them. Sick people, he healed them. Hungry people, he fed them. People that were full of fear, he delivered them from the fear. Isn't it beautiful to look at the life of Jesus? Now he says, your life is going to be like that too. He says, you walk in love, and your life is going to be a fragrance wherever you go. It'll be the fragrance you've gotten from the rose of Sharon. And people will realize that it isn't you, but it's something that you have in your heart that makes you different now. And Jesus said, men will see your good works, and who will they glorify? Your Father which is in heaven. So notice he says, walk in love as dear children. Now, we must face the fact here. This shows us that even though we're saved and we're children of God, if we choose, we can get out of love and walk out of love. For he tells us to walk in love. And he says, when we walk in love, we're dear children. And the thought I get from this, if we get out of his love, we are still his child, but we're not very dear. How many want to be a dear child of God? Huh? We want to, you know, children are this way. Now there's a lady there with two children. Two, are those both boys, aren't they? And I promise you, those boys are so different. We have two girls, that's why I say this. If you have two children, they're both different. And as a rule, one is easier to love than the other. One loves to be loved. As a rule now, one child will respond to love, and they just endear themselves to you. How many know what I'm talking about? I mean, it's even hard to keep your hands off of them. You'd like to just eat on them all the time, so to speak. I mean, they're just so full of love. They love to love you, and they love to be loved. But then you'll need to have a child that'd rather be out playing in the mud. I mean, you know. And you try to love them, they'll squirm out of your lap, and they'll run off and play. They're still your child, and you love them just as much, but they won't let you love them like you'd like to. Am I telling the truth? Huh? And I will tell you this, the one that doesn't respond to love as much as the other one, be sure and love them because they need it more. Somehow some children are bound inside by something that keeps them from being their real selves. They're covering up what they really want. Some children are dying from others' love, but there's something in them that won't let them show it. We had a girl like that, our baby girl. We loved her just as much as the older girl. The older girl was one of those nutty kinds. Oh, I'm telling you, she just loved to be up in your arms and put her arms around your neck. And I tell you, it wasn't hard to love her. Hard, as I told you, it was hard not to. But the baby girl, you try to love her and she'd squirm and wriggle away and try to catch you. She'd obviously just turn her face away from you. Well, we went ahead and loved her. We purposed not to show partiality. It's a little difficult when one doesn't want to receive your love like that. But listen, don't be partial. Love them both alike. Treat them both alike. And as I said, that one that's not receiving your love is the one that needs it the most. And you know, our girl grew up like that. And she married, and her husband was stationed in the Air Force. And so she let my wife know. She didn't ask her to come to be with her, but she was expecting a little one. And, you know, there was a pretty strong hint there that it'd be nice if mother could come. You know. And my wife said, I'm going to be with my baby. And so I said, well, sure, honey, I want you to. So we made arrangements. I took wife down, and she stayed with my daughter for a couple of months, I guess, before the baby came. And she said that one day she was in the front room, in the rocking chair, rocking. And here comes in our baby girl. Of course, now she's no longer a baby that others would call, but she's still our baby. You know, babies are always babies to mommy and daddy. And here she comes. Of course, she's carrying her first baby. She comes and sits on her mommy's lap. Of her own accord, for I guess the first time in her life. Puts her arm around her mother's neck and began to cry. She said, Mommy, I've always wanted to tell you I love you, but she said, something in me wouldn't let me. She said, I just felt like I couldn't do it. But she said, Mommy, I'm going to start loving you like I've always wanted to. She said, Mommy, I love you, and I'm so glad you've come to stay with me. My wife didn't have one baby, now she had two on her lap, you know. And you know, that changed our girl's whole disposition. It changed her whole attitude. From that moment on, she's been free around us. She wanted to do it all of her life, but she was bound inside. Something kept her from releasing her love. Even though she was saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, still she couldn't release her love toward us, toward people. But that was the beginning of it. Now she and her husband are pastoring in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. She just loves those people, goes around and hugs them. She couldn't have done that if God hadn't set her free. We go to see her, and no longer is it that distant something. She comes and hugs us, you know. And she's free now, just like the other girl. But it took her a while to release her love. So when these children are little, sometimes one is more easy to love than the other. But they're both your child. They're both your children. Love them. And God loves us. But he says he wants us to learn to endear ourselves to him. He wants us to make it easy for him to give us his love. How? By loving him more. You know, love just demands a reciprocation, a return. Real love, that's all it asks, really. Real love just wants someone to love in return. And our God is perfect love, isn't he?
Praise God.
So he's telling us to walk in love. In other words, walk in God, because God is love. And anything that's contrary to that nature of his love, why then say, Lord, I'm not walking that way anymore. And all of us have had some things to give up in our dispositions, huh? We've all had things that unlike the Lord, and things that are, you know, if we yielded to him, it'll be displeasing to him. But he said, now walk in love. Walk in love. Endear yourself. Be a dear child of God. And then he gives us, the verse 8, he says, walk as children of light. He says, you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And remember what the psalmist said. He said, the entrance of thy word giveth light. God's word gives light, you see. He said, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my pathway. That's over in the Psalms. I didn't check that scripture for you, but that's Psalm 119. Find it for you. Here's one, Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. It's a light in there. The more of God's word we put in our heart, it teaches our mind, it keeps us from walking in the darkness of our own way, you see. And then the other scripture, I don't have it marked. I've got a new Bible, I haven't marked all these scriptures yet. But what verse is that? Thy word is a lamp to my feet.
105.
Thank you, Pastor. Yes, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. A light, a light. You're children of light. Walk as children of light. And then verse 10 says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Verse 11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Reprove them. It is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Verse 15, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Now there's your scriptures on walk. You notice how many scriptures there were? I didn't count them, but quite a few, almost two chapters. Walk worthy of the vocation wherein you're called. Walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of your mind. Verse chapter 5, walk in love. Walk in light and walk circumspectly. That means look all around. Don't just run into something hastily. A Christian must weigh things. It helps us if we, you know, the natural tendency of it, some of it, is to just do things without thinking too much about it, hastily. And God says, my servant shall not make haste. And to walk circumspectly means that you consider, you're looking all around, considering how this is going to affect you. Don't make a hasty decision as a Christian. Walk circumspectly. Benjamin Franklin wasn't necessarily a Christian. He was a philosopher. But he made some wonderful statements, you know, that have carried down through history. He said, if we think twice before we speak once, we'll speak twice the better for it. And Christians, we must walk circumspectly. And that refers, of course, to how we act, to how we say. Think before we speak. And we'll get into this more. But this brings us over then to the area that we'll be teaching next week. And that is, what we say is so important. See, if we think what we say, then we order our conversation.
We order what we say. Don't ever say, well, I just said it before I thought. No, you didn't.
That's only what comes out of her mouth is what the computer put in there. And the Bible says in Psalm 51, verse 23, whoso ordereth his conversation aright, God says, to him will I show the salvation of the Lord. In other words, he says, you order up what you say. Psalm 51, verse 23, I believe. Whoso orders his conversation, order what you say, walk in the light, purpose to do what's right. Think it through. If you're tempted to, some of us are inclined that way, to speak hastily. Why, say, Lord, you help me. Put a check on my mouth. And he'll help us. How many have had to pray that way a time or two? It is kind of like Peter. He was impulsive, you know. He spoke quickly. He'd get himself in a peck of trouble. But now the Lord wanted to take Peter's disposition and use it for his glory. And he did too, didn't he? He didn't do away with Peter's disposition. He just harnessed it like you'd harness a wild horse. He trained that thing so it could be used for the glory of God. And God wants us to harness our tongues. He wants us to harness our thoughts so we can use them for God's glory, you see. Amen. Well, that brings us up to the latter part of the book, which deals with our stand. Now, you're getting the picture, aren't you? Yeah. Our position in Christ is seated with Him. Complete victory. Everything is yours in Jesus. There's nothing left undone. Whatever appears to your mind that you don't have the understanding of, realize in Jesus you had it. You just got to find out what it is by studying the Word. It's yours. All things are yours in Christ. You are complete in Him. That's the first part. The second part, walking this thing out, getting this thing in our heart, getting it out into our feet. Someone said the biggest sermons are preached in shoe leather. Our walk before others, you know. And then the last part of the book is our stand against the devil. That's what we'll take up tomorrow, is our stand against the devil. That's the last chapter, chapter 6. It shows us how we can stand against the evil one. Praise the Lord. How many want to know how to overcome the old devil, don't we? It tells us in the 6th chapter of Ephesians. But there's your picture. Seated with Christ, walking before the world, standing against the devil, and having the time of your life all the way to heaven. I'm glad we not only go to heaven, but we can enjoy the trip.
That's right.
Amen. And these truths are what helps us enjoy the trip. Praise the Lord. Be saved, be filled with the Holy Spirit, love God, keep in the love of God, and oh, there is self-denial, but you'll have so much of His blessing, you don't mind giving up a little old trinket for self when you've got Amen. The glory of the Lord, the goodness of God to enjoy. Amen. Amen. How many brother have Jesus' way? How many think His way is the best way? Do we appreciate enough to just stand and just thank Him with all of our hearts that He loved us and gave Himself for us? I'm sure we can do that. Let's thank God for it. And we're not going to be selfish. We're going to thank Him for what He's done for us. And we're going to pray our prayer of faith together for the service tonight. There's going to be some more saved. Hallelujah. Some more deliverance. Let's thank God together. Father, we